Okay, all right, let's continue from last week. Bamtsia test Yudamad days. All right, let me just review, because I see maybe it's a little bit not clear what we were ending off with. We were sort of rushing at the end. So let me just review what we have up till now. Okay. So what do we have up till now? So we're working on the question of Ein Shlichus L'Dvar Aver, Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aver, correct? And the first possibility, Ravina says that the reason for Ein Shlichus L'Dvar Aver is because of is when the shliach is a bar chiyuva, okay, and that's how we differentiate chotzer. Chotzer is not a bar chiyuva, but so therefore the guy can be gonev through the chotzer. But if you send somebody to steal for you, then there'd be ein shlichus l'dvar aver, because the shliach himself is a bar chiyuva. If the shliach himself is a bar chiyuva. And Rav Samo said that no, it's a different svara. That Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avera is when the shliach has a choice to do it or not to do it. But the chatzar has no choice. So therefore, you'll be chayav for the geneva through the chatzar. And they're both trying to explain how you can say that chatzar is mishum shlichus is raboi, and yet it doesn't contradict the principle of Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avera. Either because Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aver is limited to cases where the shliach is a bar chiyuva and the chatzar is not, or Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aver is in cases where there's a choice by the shliach, and here the chatzar has no choice. Okay, so we were trying to define the machlokas over here. More important than defining the machlokas is trying to understand the svara of each one. So, you don't have to have a machlokas to understand something, right? So, we noted, first of all, that it seems that Rashi, so the Gemara says that what? That there, all right, we did the Havamina, we did one quick Havamina, and Rashi about, and the Gemara about Chiyuv Tashlumin. Okay, but that's not what he means. He means chiyuv in terms of the shame of the being a bar avera. So the Gemara says, what's the nafka mina between Ravina and Rav Samo? The nafka mina is if you have a kohen who sends a yisrael to marry a grusha for him. Or if an ish sends an isha to do hakafas harosh on a katan. Okay, because in both of those cases, the shliach is not a bar chiyuva. Correct? Okay. So we said that. That Rashi and Tosfos, it seems that Rashi and Tosfos are arguing on the svara of bar chiyuva, and we derived that from the case of the kohen, because when Rashi gives the svara of bar chiyuva, what's his svara? His svara is divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishomim, right? So that we explained, it means that by shlichus, this was our svar for Rashi, more or less, that by shlichus, the phenomenon, according to Rashi, ein shlichus l'dvar aver, according to Ravina, means that the whole phenomenon of shlichus is not applicable to avera. Why? When the person is a bar chiyuva. Why? Because the phenomenon of shlichus means that one person will do the maisa, and yet the identity of the doer is the shaleach, right? In other words, lemaisa, the shliach, it's his action, he's doing the action. But when we say, who's responsible, whose result is this, whose activity, you might say, is this, It's the activity of the sholeach, right? In other words, I've mentioned many times that chiluk. It's a very useful chiluk when you're thinking about problems similar to this, to differentiate the action and the activity. Right, the action is no doubt about it is done by the shliach. He's doing the action, but we can say whose activity is this? Whose involvement is this? Whose process is this? Whose work is this? That's the sholeach, right? That's the sholeach. I think we mentioned. So we were saying in Rashi that it seems that Rashi's learning. That when Rashi says that since the shliach himself is a bar chiyuva, and therefore he should not have done the maisa, we're learning it in a little bit of an out of the plain shot way. Okay, we're learning it like this. It means to say that therefore by dvar avera, you don't go any further than the maisa of the. So we were saying it means like this, that ordinarily by shlichus, the whole etzem of shlichus is to be able to separate the maisa and the osa, right? So we were saying that by regular inyanim and by mitzvos, so you can say that we'll give the complete picture of what is occurring. Will wait for the initiator. So you don't have the complete picture of what's happening until you go back to find the source of this action. So if I am the shliach of the maisa, then we'll say that the action is not really fully defined unless we incorporate the koach that brought this action to be. And that's what shlichus will tell you. It'll tell you that it's the sholeach who's really the koach over here. And therefore, it's the mice in terms of the asiya, will define it by the asiya of the, it's a combination. The impetus and the start and the koach is from the sholeach, but the mice is done by the shliach. So, you got the, in general, you got the brains and the brawn, you might say. Okay, so that's a division, and we'll look at the whole maisa now from the initiation of it. Okay, let's try to do a review on that now. So that we're saying is an idea by positive things, where the initiation is what brings the thought to there's the thought, there's the plan, and then there's the carrying it out. But by Avera, we were saying, there's no need to go any further than the first person who can fully complete the shame of Maisa Avera. Maisa Avera exists as something that can't be done. It's not something that has to be thought of and then carried out. It exists already as a Maisa that is off limits. So it's not a positive engagement in something. It's more a violation of an existing thing. So when you have the first person who did the violation and is responsible for that, then you have a complete shame issa. So that's what Rashi is trying to explain. Divrei harava, divrei atam, divrei mishomim, v'lo haya lo lasos means we have already right here at the shliach a complete description of Maisa Avera. Maisa Avera doesn't need to be contemplated and then it's not an idea that you bring into existence. It's something that exists that really can't be violated. Okay, it's a reverse. That's why we're giving our mashal. So you don't need to find a. You don't need the source of what defines it as a dvar iser is right in the maisa itself, as opposed to the positive thing is it's from its cause. In other words, you can look at say what's the cause. The cause of the iser is in the maisa. The cause of a regular asiya is in the planning. Is in the thought. Okay. All right, mitzvah. Maybe you'll argue with me about, but that's the this gzeiras hakasa that works by mitzvahs. So So that's what one way of saying. Now, according to Rashi, he's learning Ravina to mean that mitzvah and that mitzvah and avera are different. Mitzvah is something that is positive, is brought into existence. It has an osa, and avera is really something that is a negation of something. So the idea of shlichus is that shlichus works because the asiyah is incomplete to define the whole activity. But that's only when you need a das to define the maisa. You need to find out whose idea is this. Otherwise, you don't know what's really going on. But by iser, it doesn't require a das to define the maisa. It's defined there, right there. Geneva is depriving someone of his property. Did someone do that? It doesn't matter whose idea it was. That doesn't make it a different maisa of Geneva. So in other words, so once we have a definitive maisa Geneva, the iser is chal on that actor. It's not possible to push it beyond. Okay? But we said that would really mean that the one who's doing the maisa has to be doing an avera, right? So that became a question. So now when we're looking for a case, I know it's a little bit complicated, but now we're looking for a nafkamina between Rav Sama and Ravina. So you say, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is when the shliach is not doing an avera, right? When the shliach is not doing an avera, that's the nafkamina between Ravina and Rav Sama. Because Rav Sama just says it goes by will. As long as the shliach is a bar das, and he has choice whether to do it or not, whether it's an isafrim or not, then it's ain't shliach l'dvar avera. But according to Ravina, it's totally on the shliach doing a maisa iser. Yes, Gil? Right. So certainly, if the sholeach, if it's not an iser for the sholeach, then there's nothing to talk about. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the cases where the sholeach is doing an iser, where it's an iser for the sholeach. Yeah. But it would not be an iser for the shliach himself. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, I have two cases where there's an isser on the sender, but not an isser on the doer. What are the two cases? One case is where a Kohen, who's not allowed to marry a Grusha, sends a Yisrael to marry the Grusha for him, Maisa Shlichus, to do the Kiddushin for him. And the other one is where a man sends a woman to shave a Katan's head. So the problem is like this. So you're not allowed to shave a man is not allowed to cut his own hair or anyone else or any other man's hair, even a cutting. But a woman has no issue to cut
his hair completely,
meaning the pious. So the problem is, why does the Gemara so when it says to cut a cutting's hair, so Rashi says it's not lav dafka cutting, even a gadol's hair. So why do you say cutting? Because what gadol is going to allow you to do it? That's what Rashi says, right? But why does it say that a Kohen sends a Yisrael to do the Maisa Kedushin Ayyadei Shliach, as his Shliach? All we're looking for is a case where the Shliach himself is not doing a Maisa Isser. Now whether the Shliach is a Kohen or a Yisrael, is he involved in a maisa? Is he doing a maisa iser? Is it like sending somebody to steal? No. Even if he's a kohen, he's not doing the iser of marrying a kohen, a grusha, because he's not doing the kedushin himself. It's not to him, right? So why should it be that he's sending? That's right. What's the difference if a kohen sends a Yisrael or a kohen sends a kohen? In either case, the shliach the shliach would never get malchus for being the shliach to marry a kohen to someone else. He would never get malchus. It's impossible. What did he do? Is he married? No, he's not married. Right? So Tosus is bothered by that question, and he says, why? What's the difference if he sends a kohen or Yisrael? In either case, is the shliach a real bar chiyuva? When we're talking about bar chiyuva, right, we mean to say that he'll be violating the iser when he does it. And we're looking for a case where he won't. That's all we're looking for. So what's the difference if it's the kohen who's the shliach or Yisrael is the shliach? In neither case is the shliach violating the iser of marrying a grusha. So why does the Gemara Dafka have to pick the case of a Yisrael who's the shliach? Okay?
Yes.
Okay. So Tosfos, you had a question? So Tosfos says the idea of who a Bachiyuva is not, doesn't mean that he's going to be violating an Isser when he does the Maisa.
If he did this Maisa, it would be an Isser.
That's right. It's right. If he did this Maisa himself, it would be an Isser. So if a Yisrael were to marry a Grusha, would that be an Isser? No.
Nothing, yeah.
But if a Kohen were to marry a Grusha himself, that would be an Isser. So then, the Shliach, if the Shliach was a Kohen, even though he himself is not marrying the Grusha, he would be considered a Bar Chiyuva in the Shlichus, and the Shlichus would be no good. So one second. So we said that is nothing like Rashi Svara. According to Rashi Svara, Bar Chiyuva means that the chiyuv will, that the issur will be chal on the shliach, and therefore prevents it from going back up the chain of command. Right? It has to be stopped by a chalos issur. And if that's the way Rashi's really learning, then it makes no difference if the shliach is a kohen or Yisrael. Correct? I know it's complicated, you got it? So the fact that Tosos insists that it not be a kohen shows you that he's not learning with Rashi's svara. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what about Rashi?
Yeah, I was gonna ask now.
So the Rashba says the Rashba says.
Can you repeat what is Rashi's
svar? Rashi's svar is that once the shliach is chayav, then that closes off the inquiry into shlichus. That ends the question of shlichus. All by a dvar ver, all we're trying to do by shlichus is to find the complete activity. So if it's a positive thing, we can separate the thought from the action.
Wait.
But by Issa we don't. Yeah.
So
we'll talk about that in a minute. But so the Rashba says Yisrael Kohen Shomel Yisrael Tseve Kadesh Li Isha Gerusha Rashba Hu Adin Davi Mati Lemin Kat Shomel Kohen. It would have made no difference if the Gemara would have said a Kohen sent a Kohen. Daf Kohen Ashliach Eino Bar Chiyuva Lekadsha Le'acher. A Kohen is not a Bar Chiyuva to marry off this Grusha to another Kohen. And if you can say Lifnei Iver, then even Yisrael is a problem. So why does it say Yisrael? He just says Milsa de Shchiach. It took the milsa shchiach. Yisrael shchichi tvei ochad the milsa naka. There are more Yisraelim around than Kohanim, so it just took the normal case. And that's, he says, the Ramban also gives that answer. So now we have at least we know we're not, we can say at least that now that not, that we're not crazy. We don't know that we're not crazy. We can say we're not crazy. Why? Because now you see that there are Rishonim, the Rashba and the Ramban, who say Anachanami. The case is exactly the same whether it's a Kohen or a Yisrael. And that is how I say Rashi's learning. So Enachanami, for Rashi,
it wouldn't make a difference.
Because the Rashba says openly, it doesn't make a difference. You heard it? You weren't here, right?
Yeah.
I'll read it again. So we're just proving that there are two ways to learn Baruch Yuvah. Rashi's way is, like we explained, that it goes by who's nitfas in the Maisa Avera. Who's caught in the Maisa Avera. Whoever's caught in the Maisa Avera, nitfas. Yeah, like a tfisa, a grab. Who's grabbed? Who's caught in the Maisa Avera? So that's it. Avera is like tar. You step in it, you're stuck. That's it. So, but then it wouldn't make a difference if a Kohen sent a Kohen or a Yisrael. And that's exactly like the Rashba and the Ramban say. But Tosfos says it matters. Tosfos is revolutionary. He says that if a Kohen sends a Kohen, there wouldn't be a good Kedushin. Because there's no Shlichus L'dvar Avera. The Kohen is not doing an Avera when he's marrying her to another. He says, no, that's not what Bar Chiyuva means. Bar Chiyuva doesn't mean that he's nitfas in the Avera. It doesn't mean that when he does the Shlichus, he's doing a Mais Avera.
Okay,
it means that were he to do this himself, it would be an Avera. It's fine. It's fine. It works out. It fits the terminology. But the question is, what sense does that make? What sense does that make to say ein shlichus dvar avera? Because if you were to do this yourself, it would be an avera, and therefore you can't be a shliach to another person. What sense does that make in terms of saying ein shlichus dvar avera when you're a bar chiyuva? I understand Rashi, because you're dirtied by it. That's it. You're stuck in it. But here he's not being over any avera. So why? What do we mean ein shlichus dvar avera? Because he's a bar chiyuva. Yeah. Okay. So this is a thorny problem. Okay, it's a difficult problem. So let's just think through the steps to how.
As far as a little like my movie one. Yeah. So,
all right. So we have to be observant, and we have to take clues from the words of the Tosfos over here. So let's think about it like this. Let's say, who's this?
Mayor.
Okay. So let's say by Rashi is clearly looking at it in terms of a problem with the topic of Isser, and that the nature of Shlichus of Dvar Avera is that once you're involved in Isser, then you can't be passed along. But Tosfos is clearly not learning it that way. It's clear. We have to abandon that whole way of thinking. Because Tosfos is not learning that way at all. He's not learning that it's a problem that the one who's doing the shliach is going to be branded as an avarian and sort of break the chain to the sholeach. It has nothing to do with that. What does it have to do with, according to him? Bar chiyuva? Bar chiyuva for him means what? That the maisa to this person is a maisa isa. Right? That's the way Tosfos is learning Bar Chiyuva. Now, what does it mean that the Shliach is a Bar Chiyuva? All it means is that for this person, for the Shliach, the Maisa of the Shlichus itself is a Maisa of Isser. In abstract, in his Shulchan Aruch.
Meaning what? Meaning if he would have done it himself?
Yeah, now as this Kohen opens up the Shulchan Aruch and he says, okay, I'm not allowed to marry a Grusha, right? Yisrael opens the Shulchan Aruch, he has no issue to marry Grusha. So we're sort of now taking a different focus here. We're sort of looking at the Shliach, and we're asking ourselves one question. What Maisios does he have that he's allowed to do, and what Maisios does he have that he's not allowed to do?
The Shliach.
The Shliach. That's what we want to know. And we're going to come up with a theory now to say that if I send a shliach to do an avera, but in his framework that maisa is not an avera, then it's a good shlichus. Whereas if I send a shliach to do an avera, and in his framework that maisa also is an avera, then the shlichus is no good. Right? We're just stating the facts more explicitly. So now the question that we have to ask, a more defined question, is what prevents the shlichus from taking place when it's a maisa iser to him?
Indeed. No, I know.
Okay. So anyway, so the question is like this. So we're saying like this, that according to Tosfos, what's the idea? What prevents the shlichus? Now, according to Rashi, what prevents the shlichus is that the shliach himself is the full package of avera. We don't need anyone else for avera. No, so therefore it wouldn't be shlichus of avera in the case of Grusha, Kohen. But according to Tosfos, what breaks the shlichus? What breaks the shlichus? What prevents the shlichus from being chal? So Tosfos is saying it's the fact that this maisa is an iser to him is what prevents the shlichus from being chal. So who cares though? Isn't he doing the sholeach's maisa? Who cares what his maisa is? Isn't he doing the sholeach's maisa? So that led us to this one conclusion. No, he's not doing the sholeach's maisa. He's doing his maisa for the shliach. And in truth, we've been saying this the whole time. We've been saying the whole time that shlichus is a combination of one person's initiation, one person's idea, one person's goal, and the shliach's maisa. The shliach has the idea, he has the thought, he has the product that he's seeking, and he uses as a tool the shliach's maisa. So when we think about it that way, now we have an idea of what Tosfos is saying. Tosfos is saying, what does a shliach have to be a shliach? Maisa. He has to have the ability to do that maisa. He has to have in his own realm, in his own framework, the freedom to do this maisa. Why? Because to be a shliach, what does it need? It needs two things. It needs for you to have the maisa, the ability to do the maisa, and the ability to take that maisa and qualify it for somebody else. In other words, could I ask you to be a shliach to jump to the moon? No, because you can't do it. It's not in your maisa. You just don't have the maisa, right? But even if physically you have the maisa, that's not enough. Because you have to take the maisa and say, I am subjugating my maisa to him. That's what makes a person a shliach. That he takes his maisa and he dedicates it to somebody else. But Tosfos is learning, in order for that last step to occur, you have to have the freedom of the maisa. You have to have the choice of the maisa. You have to have the ability to engage the maisa as your own. And if I can engage it on my own, then I can engage it for you. I have to have some control, some authority over it. But Tosfos says, therefore, it makes perfect sense to say that if the guy himself is a bar chiyuva in that maisa, if to him that maisa is verboten, it's off limits, he doesn't have any authority over that maisa. Does a kohen have the authority over the maisa of kedushas gerushin? Of kedushas grusha? No. So how could he take that maisa and do it for someone else? How could he qualify it and donate it to someone else? He doesn't have it as a cheftza of his own control to donate to a. Every good shliach is sacrificing. He's doing something that he could do for himself for another. So he has to take it. He could have done it for himself, and he does it for someone else. But he has to have the ability to do it for himself. He has to have the ability to control that maisa. If he can't control the maisa, how can he qualify it? So therefore, but the point is, it has to be clear to you that when the shliach is doing the maisa kedushin, he's just saying and qualifying the purpose of the maisa kedushin for someone else. It is his maisa kedushin in terms of, because kedushin won't take place without a maisa kedushin. That has to be absolutely clear to you. If a man sends another man to, he could send a woman for that matter, if he sends a man to do a maisa kedushin, okay, then it has to be, we have to recognize it that the man is doing, that shliach is really doing a maisa of kedushin. The only thing is, he's saying this maisa of kedushin will be for someone else. But it is a maisa kedushin. It is a maisa kedushin. There can't be kedushin without a maisa kedushin. I can't send a letter. I can't send a letter and say encloses is the $5 and take it for my. That's not a good thing. It has to be that somebody is really doing a maisa kedushin. Who's doing the maisa kedushin? The shliach is. But that's the idea of shlichus. He can take his maisa kedushin and say, "I'm going to give it to you." But this was Gary's point. I'm not saying that if the if the kohen shliach was to do a kedushin to a grusha, it wouldn't be a kedushin. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he doesn't have the ability to do that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he doesn't have the control over it. Lamaisa, if a kohen marries a grusha, he is married to her. He gets malchus for that. If he wasn't married to her, he wouldn't get malchus. The kedushin is chal. But it's not that he doesn't have the ability to do that maisa, practically speaking. It means he doesn't have the control over the maisa. Shlichus demands that you take a maisa that's in your control and give it to someone else. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing as a shliach. Some hold there's a kinyan to be a shliach. That's a question. Do you need a kinyan to be a shliach? But it's a serious thing. It actually is a qualitative change going on over here. But Gary's question is very intriguing. What if a Yisrael sends a Kohen to marry a Grusha for him? I don't know. Okay, so let's take the last position then. So what is Rav Sama saying? So Rav Sama says that that's not the problem of Ein Shlichus V'Avera. It's not a problem that the Shliach is a Bar Chiyuva. Even if the Shliach is not a Bar Chiyuva, it still is no Shlichus V'Avera. Even if the Yisrael, even if the Ish sends the Isha for HaKafas HaRosh, there would be no Shlichus. Why? Because that's Hechad Iboy Ovid Viboy Lo Ovid. The Shliach over there, that's what the Gemara says. Lahach Lishna the Omar Kol Hechad Iboy Ovid Viboy Lo Ovid Lo Mechayev Sholcho. Hachanami Iboy Ovid Viboy Lo Ovid. So if you hold that Lo Mechayev Sholcho. So if you're going to hold like Rav Sama, that Shlichus goes by. But that when is there no shlichus l'dvar avera? When the shliach has the choice to do it or not to do it. So then here too, the shliach has a choice of whether to do it or not. Doesn't matter whether what he's doing is nisr or not. That's not the issue. The only issue is whether he has the choice to do it or not. So if that's the case, he would not be the sholeach iboy ovid es ha-shlichus. That's all that matters. Can he do the is he choosing to do the shlichus or not? So only a chatzi you can say doesn't choose. Or Tosa says iboy lo of it if a guy had no idea it was a maisa iser, which is also interesting. But what do you say? What do you say? Can we understand Rav Sama? What do you say for Rav Sama? Now what's his idea of ein shliach l'dvar avera? I mean, what's the difference if the shliach, if it's not an avera for the shliach? Then what's the difference if he chooses or not? I mean, for him, why isn't if it's for him, why isn't it just a regular choice? Every shlichus involves a choice. If I ask you to be my shlich, it's up to you whether you want to do it or not. So choice is not a problem in shlichus. I mean, there's no shlichus bar parchach. So there's always a choice involved in shlichus. So why? Because dvar avera, even though it's not an avera for you, why is the fact that there's a choice make it a problem? Yeah. This. It was just to run it down quickly, and as we were saying, what you really should be asking, what's the problem of Shlichus Dvar Avera? According to Rashi, the problem is the shame of Aryan. Is not you can't move it along the line. According to Tosfos, the problem is not the shame of Aryan, the problem is the Shliach can't accept and create a Shlichus out of something that he himself doesn't have. But what's the problem according to Rav Sama? That doesn't bother Rav Sama. He's like Rashi on that regard. He doesn't hold that the shliach has that problem of not having that maisa in his own repertoire, because he's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for someone else. And anyway, a person can choose to do isser. They hold. Yeah, people choose to do isser. I mean, that doesn't just because it's an isser doesn't mean it's not something that you can choose about. That's a machlokas. But what's the problem that Rabbi Sama is solving or highlighting by isolating the factor of will? In other words, it's a very hard thing to think about because we're sort of asking sort of like a reverse type of thinking. We're trying to think, what is the problem of Ein Shlichus L'Dvar Avera? Why is there no Shlichus L'Dvar Avera? So when they say Bar Chiyuva, so Rashi's saying, he's trying to show you what the problem is. The problem is in the shame of Aryan. Tosfos says, no, the problem of Bar Chiyuva has to do with the Shliach's creating the Shlichus, of defining himself as the Shliach L'Gabi this Meiser. And according... Meaning for Tosfos, that he can't make himself a shliach on the maisa that he himself doesn't have bilis over. So Isser he's not considered to have control over.
So he can't sign up for the shlichus. Right? Who here has a maisa that they can give to me? He can't raise his hand. So, but according to who? Rav Sama, what's the problem of shlichus d'var avera? What's the problem? He's saying the problem is what? That since he can choose to do it or not, therefore there's no shlichus d'var avera. It just doesn't make sense. How do you understand that?
Sounds like Rashi's first.
That's an interesting question. No, should we think about it? This is a good question in general. When you have a problem like this, should we think about it according to Tosos or just forget about Tosos? Because Tosos says that what Kevin Shein Hashomer Yodeshu Ganov Havalei Kechotzer Deval Karcha Mosav Bay, that Tosos has a case in Bava Kama that if you tell somebody go be my shomer and take my cow from Gil's farm. And in fact, it's not my cow. So Tosu says that that's considered shliach l'dvar avera, and the shomer will not be chayav. The sholeach will be chayav.
The sholeach,
yeah. The interesting thing is, though, he's saying that's Rashi's pshat over there.
Oh wow!
So that's the way Rashi learns over there. But so that indicates that when we say bal karcha. When we say Iboy Avid, Iboy Lov, it doesn't mean that the Shliach is a sentient being with will of his own. It means that the Sholeach basically, the circumstances are such that he will definitely do it.
So it's a coercion, kind of, where you're not telling the guy what you're going to do.
Right.
You're just telling him, and he's like, oh yeah, sure, I'll do a favor for you.
It's an ordinary Maisa to him.
Yeah.
Right. There's absolutely no reason to assume that he's not going to do it. As opposed to if... But that's interesting. Then you have to say that a woman may or may not shave the kid's head because she knows it's her for somebody.
Yeah. I mean, it's like...
The Kohen sends a Yisrael. The Kohen sends a Yisrael. He knows that he may not do the Shlichas because the Yisrael knows it's really an Isser in general.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so let's think about it. Let me just set up how to think about this. One way to think about this problem. A problem is like it's like a twisted up ball of yarn. You've got to sort of find that thread to start pulling on. You know what I mean?
Or the cords in the other room.
Like the cords in the other room. Yeah, you got to find the thread to unravel the jumble. So let's frame it like this. Let's say like this. That the Gemara is saying Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid is what makes it not Shliach L'Dvar Avera. So then, in order to be Shliach L'Dvar Avera, it has to be that it's practically definite that the Shliach will do the Shlichus. Let's say it is definite that the Shliach will do the Shlichus. We can simplify. We can simplify just to think about it. Don't worry about Tosas right now. But it has to be that it's definite, like a chatzar, that the shliach is going to do the shlichas. So, where does that leave us? We're saying there's only shliach advar avera where the shlichas is a vadai. So like a chatzar. There's a vadai shlichas. It's definitely going to happen. Or possibly if a person is completely duped. That's Tosas.
As opposed to
where I send somebody as a Kohen, I send the Yisrael to do Kiddushin for me to a Grusha, I know he may do it and he may not do it. Okay? But the question is like this. So let's just get the question clear. Now, as I said, every Shlichas has that quality, where the guy may or may not do it. Even a Shlichas for a mitzvah has the quality the guy may or may not do it. Right? So obviously we're saying in a regular shlichus that when the guy decides to do it, then he is doing it for you. Right? And the fact that when he does decide to do it and he's doing it for you, that's enough for what? What does that accomplish? It was in a regular shlichus when the person does decide to do it for you, that's a valid shlichus. So what does that create? What does that accomplish? We need to know more. What is it? What does it accomplish? That gives his action the stamp of your authority.
Right.
Right? It gives his action. That's what we're always trying to accomplish. That's what gives his action the quality of your activity. Right? Because that's what shlichus is. I volunteer my maisa for you. So when I do the maisa for you, of course I volunteered. And of course it's up to my will. But in ordinary shlichus, there's no problem in creating the color of my shame on your maisa with the shliach's will. That's not a problem. So remember, don't take your eye off the ball. Shlichus means where the maisa of the shliach is done, but it's under the shame of the sholeach. So we have no problem in ordinary shlichus creating this combination of the maisa of the shliach and the das of the sholeach when the shliach says, I'm doing it for you. But now we can see a little. Now we can say a little bit better what Rav Sama is saying. He's saying, by Avera, the only way that can be accomplished, the only way we can consider the maisa of the shliach to be the asiya of the sholeach is when it's definite. So why is that the case? Now, at least we know a little bit better what we're doing.
On the same page with what's going on?
Where it all comes from the sholeach. When everything is coming from the shliach, when it's by regular shlichus, remember what we're trying. When shlichus is accomplished, then we say shliach did the maisa, but the shliach is the osa of this activity. We're trying to get that marriage. We're trying to get that together. We're trying to create that unit between of separated. Of, in other words, when one person does an action, it's his own will and his own action. Shlichus is we're sort of taking that and separating. We're taking the will from one person and the action from another person. And we're calling the maisa the sholeachs. So in general, that separation and combination is good even when the shliach willfully donates and says it. Because I want to do it, that's why it's good. You know, is it that's accomplished even when he's ibay of it, ibay lo of it. But when he's bay of it, it works. So for some reason, by avera, this idea of saying that the shame of the sholeach, the mark of the sholeach, will be chal on the shliach's maisa, doesn't occur unless it's almost like a definite, forced, almost like a Baal Karchach. I mean, Tosfos does use the term Baal Karchach. It has to be like a Baal Karchach type of a situation. So to put it in a better way, we can say that the separation of Maisa, of action and will, is something that can occur freely in an ordinary Shlichus and only by force in a Shlichus Dvarver. Now we have defined what Rabbi Sama really is saying. We've defined it. In terms of shlichus, we've defined what shlichus l'dvar avera means. Because we've defined what shlichus is in general, we defined how it normally works, and we defined how it's working here. Now we have to see and think, take that definition and go backwards and see what is the svara to say that it can work freely, that my will can be expressed in your maisa freely in an ordinary action, but my will is not expressed in your maisa freely in an isa, in a dvar isa. It's dafka if, almost like I'm pulling the strings, almost like I'm a puppeteer. Mm-hmm. Okay?
That's the Baal Korcha.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's a good definition. Now we got to get to a good svara. Right?